recognize here is that I'm giving you the first of many handouts if you find this to be helpful. What I'm going to talk about is a topic each night, each Wednesday night. And these would be the type of information you would need if you were working with someone who is really struggling with an affliction. You know, chastisements or trials, and they don't understand it. I'm going to try to just summarize each one of these categories. There could be as many as 100 of them, actually. Just a reference place, so you'd have to keep the notes if you were going to have it. We're going to do it in alphabetical order, and it could be helpful to you at Hope, because what God intends is for people to be able to get help from other believers, not necessarily to be sent off to specialists. They ought to be helped by one another, and therefore you'd have to start having some of this stuff organized in your mind and how to go about it. So we're talking about affliction. Not all affliction is related to a specific sin, although many people, when they get caught up in afflictions, have come to me and said, I don't know what I did. I must have done something wrong. There's got to be some sin involved here. Well, it may be. That is definitely a possibility. And if that's the case, repent of it. But it is not the only reason why people have afflictions. And I'm going to just quickly show you some. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, this is kind of like the theme of 1 Peter, actually. 1 Peter... Now, one of the other items is important to recognize is we're studying on Sunday mornings and Sunday when I've been preaching through 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is really a book about people that are facing all sorts of difficult issues. One of them is persecution for simply being a Christian. Therefore, this is a topic that's how I got started on originally. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Okay, he is saying, okay, this you're rejoicing this, but you're having various trials, so that the testing that the tested genuineness of your faith. Notice that it is God has ordained these circumstances so that your faith would be tested, so that you would know that, yes, I am a believer. More precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tested by fire, may be found to produce, to result in praise and glory and honor and revelation of Jesus Christ. Trials are a way in which we can prove in our own experiences that we really are a believer. Because we sense the presence of God. It tests our faith. And it should bring the glory to God as others see us go through this. Look at John chapter 9, 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 9 says this, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And what was the response of those? The disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents. You understand the assumption? This man has this physical deformity, and at that time they were the learned people, his disciples, were coming to the conclusion somebody sinned in this situation or the child wouldn't be blind. Now what's the Lord's response to that? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. A great thing to remember as we're going through trials. And the other important item is that you may go through a difficult life. And your whole life is this testing and demonstration. And you have the opportunity to respond in such a way that would bring God the glory in the end. Job, the question is how did God view this man? Now, how many of you have read through the book of Job? I trust most of you have. It is a heart-wrenching book to read through. It is one tragedy after another. And if you think you're going through tough times, when I think I'm going through tough times, I read this. And then I try to picture myself as the man Job and how I would feel. And it kind of gives you perspective. You know, we always are saying, well, man, I'm having a lot rougher time than the guy next to me. Why is that? or we look at others and we can see others that are having a harder time and we're encouraged by it. Well, that's what the book of Job does for me. I read that, and no matter what I've gone through, I've always read through Job and said, well, it may be a rough sled in here, but it's not like what he was dealing with. Okay? Now, what kind of a man was he? I'll just read one of these references. Job 1:1 says, there was a man in the name of Uz, in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And the man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. And then again in verse 8, it says very, very much the same thing. And again, the point was that this man was one godly man. And you read the first chapter and you have to recognize that God knew Job was a godly man. Satan knew that he was a godly man. And Satan asked for permission to try to make an example of him. Job had no clue that that spiritual battle was going on. And even at the end, it never gives any clear indication that he ever figured it out. But he did understand this, that God is a great God. And he deserves all the praise and the glory no matter what happens. So there's a tremendous hope in that. Question number three. So what type of man was he? He's a godly man. He's an outstanding man. What does James teach us about why, at times, God sends trials? In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, what's the answer to that? Anybody have it that could tell me the answer without reading the passage? Okay, I'll read it for you. Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet various trials and of various kinds. I see what's going on. I have a different version here. Meet trials at various times. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Boy, you know, what is it talking about? It's talking about patience. It produces patience in us. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What is he saying about the trials? He's saying that that is a classic way in which we can become the people that God wants us to be. What a sweet thought. Now, are you looking at your trials that way? I know, Jerry, you talked about going to the doctor again, and how many bypass surgeries have you been through, Jerry? Three? And here he is going in to see the doctor again. It's got to be kind of a sad thought. I mean, if you've been, anybody been to someone that has been through open heart surgery? Recovery is not the easiest thing. You've been through three, and now you're sitting there talking to the doctors about what to do. I mean, something less than a good, but that's from a worldly perspective. Who knows who's watching Jerry go through this? And several others in here. Brother Dave's been through it. Jerry Heim's been through it. Ruth goes through it on a daily challenge with her life situation with her husband and her own physical challenges. These are opportunities, though, to trust and rest in our Lord. A response to temptation is an accurate barometer of our love. That's the question I was asking at 4. It would have been... Oh, I didn't put it in yours. That's too bad. Why don't you write down these verses? Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 8:2, and think about it in this terms. How can temptation be used to measure our relationship with God? The trials, the pressures, the tribulation times. Well, one of the classic examples is found in Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, where, in fact, we have Abraham told by God to go through something that is, it could be frightening to me if I felt God was leading me to do something like this. He was to go off and offer his son as a sacrifice. Now, would that not be frightening? I mean, try to picture, again, put yourself in Abraham's stead. He was convinced it was God speaking, and he was off to do this. He raises up his knife to take his son's life, and then I pick it up in verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hands," God spoke to him, "on the lad, and do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What was this about? "I know that you fear God." In other words, the trial, the temptation, was a test of the genuineness of his faith in God. Now that's a pretty awesome level of trial. Now, you can transport that into different situations. Some in here are having real financial troubles. How we respond to it is a measure of our faith. Because what has God told us in regards to our need for things? He'll provide them. And so we are not to be overwhelmed by circumstances that seem to be going the wrong direction. Deuteronomy 8:2 is another fine verse that talks about this. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all, he's talking to Israel, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. And this is why he had them out in the wilderness. He had them out and trying them through this very difficult, hot, grueling, never-ending process, to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart. Isn't that fascinating? Whether you would keep his commandments or not. I was just down at Bob Jones and had the opportunity to be with my son, and one of the privileges I had is to listen to him in a chapel message. He spoke before this massive group the first day I was there, and I happened to be there, and it was a real privilege just to listen to him preach. And in the midst of it, he was talking about a family devotions he had, and it was in this portion of Scripture. And it was a Friday night, and the Friday night for the group of his kids, his five kids, were... It was a fun night, family night, where they were going to have popcorn and watch a video together. And everybody had been looking forward to it. Well, he went through some Bible reading and the likes. And then he said, "Now everybody get ready for bed." Okay, what were they planning? Okay, they were planning on popcorn, a video, game night, have fun. Everybody get ready for bed. "But Dad, it's Friday night." "No. Get ready for bed." And of the group, not all of them responded perfectly. There was some crying. Let's just put it that way. Things didn't go as well as. And they got up to the room and put their pajamas on, and were about ready to get into bed. And then he called them back down. And he said, "You know what? I want to read this passage and share with you that you are getting tested. Obedience isn't always doing what you want to do. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right heart attitude. You don't even have to agree with it." He says, "I was testing you. And guess what? You failed. But I love you anyway, and we're going to have our family night. But let me read this passage." And he says, "You know what? You better learn early that sometimes in life, God's going to expect you to go through some troubles that you may not be able to understand." Can any of us relate to that? Ever been through trials you don't understand? Yeah, you may be going through some trials you don't understand, and you see it in Scripture, you're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always, and you say, "I can't rejoice in the midst of this." And you say, "No, it definitely the Lord is saying to me to rejoice." We've got to go through it, because he's testing our obedience and our trust. Wasn't that a good lesson? I wish he would have been sharing about how I had run family devotions and had such a clever way of, I suspect they remember that, and it was now already a year or two ago. But I suspect that would have left an impression on my mind. The psalmist in 119, these three passages. Why don't you turn there while we're reading the question. What does the psalmist say he gained through trials? Well, in Psalms 119, and it was verse 67 is the first one. Big book. 67, there it is. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good and teach me your statutes. What is he saying? It sounds like the affliction had a whole lot of helping him get a proper perspective. Have any of us lived long enough to have gone through a trial that helped us get a proper perspective? I mean, I definitely have. You know, sometimes the Lord has had to whack me pretty hard before I caught on. But the psalmist caught on, and I hope to remember my own experience in that regard and learn from the psalmist here. Verse 71 says, "It is good for you that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Isn't that sweet? Some of you honestly are right now going through some real trials. But I'll tell you what, this life is not the main event. And if we could just keep that in focus, he is testing us, and we're going to be rewarded if we will respond to life's challenges in ways that bring him glory. 75 and 76 says, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." Notice that. In God's faithfulness, God afflicted him. The problems came from God in this situation. "Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word and to your servants." Our God is a loving God. We don't have to necessarily understand everything that's going on, but we need to know our God and trust him. Just know him and trust him. Okay, go to a New Testament passage, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read it at verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortations which speak to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son, for what the son is there whom a father does not chasten." I'm jumping down to verse 11. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Well, that's the truth. It isn't pleasant when you're having chest pains. It isn't pleasant when you're having, you know, other physical pains, or it isn't present when your loved ones are doing wicked choices. It's probably even worse than the physical stuff, isn't it? It really, really, really breaks your heart. For the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You understand the requirement? You can be taken through a trial, and it can be very, very painful, and you get nothing out of it. But if we will learn and grow closer to our Lord in it, then it'll be a sweet, sweet memory. And that's the point. And then I'm just jumping down to the question number 9 here. I guess you had some blanks in 7. It said, discipline is not pleasant. I'm trying to figure out where I had that. Discipline is not pleasant, but later on we can enjoy its peaceable fruit. It's fruit. Discipline is not pleasant, but later we can enjoy its fruit, but only if we respond in a proper spirit. And God disciplined and tried his people on their journey to the promised land to teach them important truths. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 5, you'd see that at the end. I read the early part of that passage, but not the latter part. So what does this say about affliction and tough times? I'll tell you one thing it says to me, look up. Look up, keep your eyes on God in the midst of it. Boy, if you allow yourself to be overwhelmed with the circumstances, Lord help you. Yeah, you can really, really, really trip yourself up, and that's literally what does happen. I have an analogy to that. I don't know if you noticed, about a month and a half ago, I had a cut in my head. What was that all about? Well, it was about getting up in the middle of the night because I heard something downstairs, and I went down there fairly quick. And I was looking down, and I walked right into one of our French doors. I really did nail it hard. I mean, it was not so I hit it so it would just close. No, it happened to be like this, and I went, boom! And it was a great, great reminder, because it was dark, and I was trying to look down where I was going. If I would have lifted up my head, I wouldn't have had it cut up here. It would have been more like my nose, maybe. My point is, when we go through trials, don't look down. Be really, 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 really careful. God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Be looking for his hand in the midst of it. Looking for how you can bring him glory in the midst of it. And it isn't about us defining the environment. It's about us responding the way he's called us to respond. And that's to rejoice in him. Again, I say rejoice. Amen? Do you have a question? Unfortunately, I couldn't hear what you said. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Amen. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. I've taken quite a bit of time already. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the reality that, in fact, afflictions are one of your ways that you train us and you test us. I pray, Father, that even if we're in the midst of a trial right now, an affliction, a problem, a challenge, a painful time in our lives, Father, that you would help us to refocus and look up to you from whence cometh our help. Help us to learn what you have us to learn. Help us to model what you want us to model to the lost and dying world. Help us to be the men and women you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.